by precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for everyone in the room can sing that second line of that first verse in their heart, shed for me.
What's the number on that, Brother Roger?
I'm sorry, 25 in the back. I'm sorry, 25 in the back. Sing along. Others are sitting down here. I'm ready to
Precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Precious blood of Jesus, all that Christ is
song, and it does give the gospel story so clearly and completely. And so we sing this song at the beginning of a gospel meeting. I know that I'm covered because the gospel is told out in this song, and it leaves everyone in the room responsible if you've never taken the Lord your Savior. And so what I say may be stumbling and fumbling and difficult to follow and understand, but this song puts it out there clearly. And so I kind of like this song in the gospel for that reason. It gives a gospel story. I particularly like the second verse. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into that crimson blood that washes white as snow. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And number 18.
I'm every soul by sin. Trust him now.
Look at the Lord for his help. Sing, combine gospel and sing, so I'm going to try and keep my remarks brief. One verse I'd like to read, just part of the verse. In fact, Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be ye also ready. It's been a wonderful 3 days we've spent here, Cornbrook. We've learned many things about the Lord Jesus. And the gospel has gone out faithfully the last 2 evenings. And I wonder if there's anyone in the room tonight who's listened to those meetings, listened to the speakers that were up here, certainly more capable than I, and gave a faithful message in the gospel, telling of that wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world to save sinners, the one who came into this world to save you. You made it your own. Are you here passing as a Christian? I was impressed by what our brother John told us yesterday and that empty chocolate bar he had. You know, I could see a young man in that chocolate bar. He grew up in a home where the Word of God was honored and read. He heard the gospel time and again. He came to Sunday school, came to the meetings, came to the gospel meetings. He grew up in a young person. He broke bread at the Lord's table. And then he decided that perhaps there were more exciting things and other things that he was interested in. And he joined the army. Through training and was transferred to Korea. And in Korea he saw things that perhaps most of us don't see lying in the army. And sometime after he was there, he called his dad and said, "Dad, just got saved." That's something. He assumed he was saved. He passed as Christian all those years. Called home and said, "Dad, I just got saved. Can you send me some tracts and give them to my buddies?" That's something to think about. Here he was, unsaved. He didn't know it. If there's anyone in the room like that this evening that has never really made it your own, or really put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus came into this world. He knew that from a past eternity that man was sinners, that we could never earn our way to heaven, we could never work our way to be fit for the presence of God. He knew that man would be, before he even created man, he knew he'd be destined for judgment. What a solemn thing to think of. But he made a plan. And the Lord Jesus came into this world, became a man. And we've learned much about him in these last 2 days. But what a gracious man he was. He came into this, he walked these streets and roads of Israel, dusty, hot. He was tired. He could sit on a well and ask for a drink. He sat on boxes of holes, birds of the air, a nest. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He could weep at the grave of Lazarus. He reached down and touched a leper. But the world hated him. They brought him, we won't go into detail, but they brought him to Jerusalem, or he went to Jerusalem. He was arrested. He was scourged. He was suffering, agony, and pain. That's not what purged, that's not what paid the price for our sins? No. 3 hours, God shut out the sun, laid on him the iniquity of us all. Anyone, everyone has put their trust, their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you sit here this evening if you never put your trust in him and not be touched? What did you think of that blessed one? To quote a brother that maybe you knew, he's long with the Lord now, I remember Ernie Wakefield saying, he's the only one who ever walked, he's the only man who ever walked the face of this earth that deserved to live, and the man hung him on a cross and killed him. Thing to think about. I trust there's no one in the room who would reject such a message this evening. But there he was, and the weight, all the weight of God's wrath fell on him. Those 3 hours of darkness. At the end, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. He gave his own life for you and for me. Then that soldier came, drove a spear into his side, and says, "Forthwith there flowed out blood and water." Joe, the work was finished. Blood was shed. Scripture tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood there at Calvary. There was no other blood that could possibly atone for sins. Thousands of animals have been slain. Unmeasurable quantities of blood have been shed. But none of it could really take away sins. It only pointed forward to that perfect sacrifice, that perfect blood that was shed there at Calvary. I'm asking you tonight, has it affected your heart? Has it entered into your heart? Do you realize your need as a Savior? Do you realize your need as a lost sinner tonight? There's no question that we're all sinners. The Scriptures tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I dare say that there's no one in the room here, I trust, that if we went around and asked each one, "Have you ever sinned? Have you ever sinned? Have you ever sinned?" they would say, "No, I've never sinned." If you're honest with yourself, I'm not going to do that, but if you're honest with yourself, you'll have to agree that there's many, many times you've done things that you know are not pleasing to a holy God. Therefore, be ye also ready. We read this afternoon one of the greatest promises ever found in the Word of God, I think. Many promises, and I hate to say one's greater than another, but this is one of the great promises of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus told his own, "I will come again. I will come again." You know, I can tell when I quoted those words, the thrill went through many in the room, perhaps everyone. I trust everyone. Thrill. It gives me a thrill just to say it. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, those words should wreak terror in your heart. Because if the Lord Jesus were to come this night, if the Lord Jesus were to come before this meeting is over, that trumpet's blast would be heard, and all of his own would be taken up to meet him in the air. Oh, I trust this room would be empty, but oh, if you're here, if you were left behind in your seat this evening, it's left behind for judgment. I can hardly imagine the horror of that feeling, but I did experience it one time. When I was a little boy, young boy, I really think that I knew the Lord as my Savior, but you know, Satan comes in, tries to get us to doubt. And anyway, I jumped on my bike and took a ride up the road and was gone for a bit. I came back to the old farmstead, I pulled out into the yard, and I immediately realized something was not right. It was quiet. Very quiet. Well, a large family, and there was usually several kids around and things going on around that place. People could attest to that. I looked around and didn't see anyone. Brothers, sisters. Ran in the house. I couldn't find my mother. My dad, I knew, was going to be at work. There's no one there. I couldn't find anyone. And it was quiet. And suddenly the thought hit me. Perhaps the Lord has come, and I'm left behind. Maybe I wasn't sincere. Maybe I didn't know for sure. The horror and terror that went through me is hard to describe. But I remember sprinting through that farmstead, in and out of every building and the barn and all around. It was quiet. I couldn't see. There was no one there. I couldn't find anyone. I knew my brothers and sisters were saved. I knew they knew the Lord was a Savior. I knew my mother would be gone when the child came. Couldn't find her. I also knew there was no use falling on the ground and falling on my knees and crying out for mercy because it was too late. There's nothing I could do. I trust no one in the room ever has to feel that terror and that horror that went through my mind. It's not fun. But if you're left behind when the Lord comes, you'll feel that terror. You'll know that horror. And, as I said, there's no use crying for mercy then. It's too late. Well, as I was running around that farmstead looking through buildings and whatever, I heard the most wonderful sound I've ever heard. Sound of that old two-cylinder John Deere tractor coming around the hill. And I knew it'd be my older brother, Paul, who's with the Lord now. He was still there, and I knew he was saved. And what a wonderful sound that was. And whenever I hear one of those old things at an antique show or whatever, I kind of enjoy it. Special way. That old two-cylinder coming around the end of that hill. But I just tell you that little story because I wish to impress in your hearts tonight, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're left behind, the terror, the horror. You're left behind for judgment. And I believe that this North American countries where the Bible has been read, where the scriptures have been opened, and where the gospel has been preached in so many ways. I believe these North American countries are going to be the worst place on earth to be. It'll be absolutely awful in the United States and Canada after the Lord returns. The terror that will come. And that's nothing compared to what you'll face. You will die. And you'll be raised again in 1,000 years to appear before the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be a loving Savior as we can present Him tonight. It won't be one whose arms are outstretched and saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." It won't be the one who's saying, "I paid the price for your sins. I shed my precious blood. Won't you just accept it?" No, he'll be there as judge. There'll be no answers. The books will be open. Your name won't be found there. You'll be cast for all eternity in the lake of fire. Gospel as a thing to break people into getting saved. I remember hearing someone say that one time. Said, "Yeah, so and so preached the gospel and he scared my kids in heaven." Well, I think that's quite a right thought. But I do feel that it's important that we realize the judgment is coming and there is no escape if you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight, I can say the Lord Jesus is waiting for you now. He's looking down on this little company, and he knows your heart. He knows if you've ever put your faith and trust in him. He knows if you're on the way to heaven, or he knows if you're on the way to a lost eternity. And that's the last thing he wants to be. But tonight you can take him as Savior. Oh, you can own that you're a lost sinner and say, Lord Jesus, you paid the price, save my soul. We heard the other night, simply, it's as simple as, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, own him as Lord. Realize your need is a Savior. Therefore, be ye also ready. The Lord's coming is very soon. It's very near. Some are amazed that we're still here when we look at the things that are going on in this world around us. My mother used to say that her father, and she said this probably 50 years ago, 40 years ago, said if her father could have read a newspaper of that day, he would have said the rapture had already occurred. Because of the things that were going on in this world, look how much farther advanced. Brethren, when we wake up in the morning, we should be amazed that we're still here. We should be amazed that you're just born. All we're looking forward to, that's a wonderful thing we look forward to. And I trust that each one in the room has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and knows him as Savior. And is, along with me, looking forward with wonderful, glorious anticipation to that moment. He's going to appear. He's going to call us home to be with him, to leave this world behind our glorified bodies. Benji and I were talking about it just a few minutes ago. Have that glorified body. And that's going to be a great invention. A glorified body. Every one of us in the room. So we have a wonderful thing we look forward to. Oh, the Lord says to you, oh, I would plead with you tonight. If you haven't taken the Lord as your Savior, tonight may be your last opportunity. It's the last meeting of these 3 days of special meetings. The last gospel, perhaps the last gospel meeting ever. I tremble to think that it's been my responsibility to be up here. But please do not give up. If there's anyone in the room who has any doubts or anything, like, speak to any one of us, we'd be more than happy to sit down and talk with you for a few minutes. Therefore, be ye also ready. Let's just look to the Lord. Loving God and our Father, thank thee for this opportunity this evening to once again tell of thy love and once again tell of that Savior of sinners, the one who died for me, the one who died for each one of the ones with their faith and trust in him. So we just commit these few words to thee, and as we go our way, we pray that if there's anyone within the sound of our voice that they may know, they may realize tonight their need and take thee as Savior, Lord Jesus. So we just commit the remainder of the evening to thee for thy care, help, worthy and precious name of Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Before we start singing, I'd like to address the vocal corner, but brethren, and I believe I can speak for your out-of-town guests. I've been asking permission, but I think I can speak for them. It's been a wonderful 3 days, and we appreciate tremendously all you have done for us. You've been wonderful hosts. It's been a wonderful, encouraging time. And we also know the Lord will bless you greatly for your efforts and for your work in putting on this conference. So, on behalf of all of your out-of-town guests, thank you very much.
Amen.
doesn't agree.